Hey, can we do me a quick favor? And everybody, there's got these KFC buckets, and we've got these sign-up sheets for fall retreat. And I would like the first person to just hold it. Can you just hold? Yeah, just hold it. Hold the sign-up clipboard too. Same here, same there. And what I really want us to focus on here is I'm just going to pray, because this is really, really key. This is really a big deal, actually. That we have fall retreat coming up in 2 weeks, and it's a time when God does something very special and very unique, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that as we talk through the night tonight. But it's also a time for us to celebrate a little bit about what we've been talking about last week, about light, and how this is going to be a weekly chance for us to regain like a recharging station. And part of that is giving. Part of that is worship. Part of that is getting in the Word. A lot of that is being with each other. And so just so you know from my own lips that the thing we care about most here is that you are going to give everything to the Lord, and that's your heart and your soul and your mind and your strength. And we know that money is a small part of that. We want you to be free to be able to give that to a lot of different places and a lot of different people. They're going to need it this year. But we also feel like maybe your first needs to go to a community. And so that's why we have on our app that first five option. It's just your first $5. I don't want your most, I want your first. I think that's fair, and I think God wants you to know that you're giving your first somewhere. He talks about first fruits a lot. So I'm going to pray, and then we're gonna move these along. So God, I'm just going to pray for you to do your work through the sign-up sheet tonight, that we would be convicted to go, first and foremost. That we'd be thinking about people we need to invite to go, because there is an opportunity here. It's a big one. It's an opportunity for us to get out of town and be honest with you. And it's also an opportunity tonight for us to consider what it means for us to make a first fruits commitment to you this year. What is tonight's start for us in a routine with you, so that you'd be honored and so that we would be blessed? Because you don't need our money, but we need to give it. And so would you just take your blessing and put it upon both the sign-up and the KFC buckets as they're passed at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we can pass those. 20 years ago. I'm going to hack a little bit tonight. I'm sorry. 20 years ago, my very first year here at ISU's campus, I learned a lesson. And here's really our lesson for tonight. I'm gonna say it right out of the gate, and I want us to ponder on this throughout the course of this evening. It is this. And where honesty is met with acceptance, there is belonging. I'm going to say it one more time. Where honesty is met with acceptance, there is belonging. It's pretty hard sometimes to be vulnerable, to be honest, to be open, to say, this is who I am. But to find somebody else that meets you there and says, I accept you, regardless of whatever that honest thing was, man, that is the beautiful thing that starts belonging. And we're gonna chat a little bit about that tonight. But where it really hit home for me was my very first year. It was back when I was able to go into the dorms and they didn't look at me as a creepy old guy. I guess maybe I just snuck in because I looked younger or whatever. And I'm knocking on doors and I met this guy named Mark very first week of school, and I invited Mark to come to Encounter. Mark comes, and throughout the course there, we had a very, very small ministry at the time, and so I got to focus my attention a little bit more on some people. And Mark and I became close. And Mark was an incredible musician, and I learned very quickly that he had a circle of people that he got to talk in that kind of a language with, a very unique and isolated group of people that really were exceptional at their craft. He was a pianist. He was extremely, extremely gifted. And then, you know, then he had another circle of people that, you know, he was around that would take him seriously about academics. And so you got your professors, you got his parents, you got that kind of a crowd that he would talk to. But I also saw a side of Mark that was very out there as far as just being a little bit goofy. He liked to hang out with his friends, and he liked to just have fun. And when he was in high school, he took a Spanish class. How many of you guys took a Spanish class when you were in high school? Yeah. And part of Spanish class, I remember this too, when I was in, you get a Spanish name, right? and you get to pick whatever name you want. So this just kind of lets you know the goofy side of Mark. Mark named himself Nacho. Yeah. And what was odd about it was that as he came to college, that carried over with him, and he was just like, just call me Nacho. And so everyone on his floor, nobody knew him as Mark. Everyone knew him as Nacho. Like, everyone in our ministry knew him as Nacho. I forgot his name was Mark a few times. Like, hey, Nacho. And there's something a little odd about that, but he was holding on to that part of who he was. And so, as it came about, I don't remember why, I live in Michigan. I took him on a trip with me back home. And so I'm going back to Michigan, and we're traveling, and I remember we got to be very honest, we got to be very open, we got to talk about life. And there was a night where we were in bunk beds. I can't even remember the setting or where we were, but this is what I remember. I remember I was on the bottom bunk, he's on the top. And I remember it was dark. And I remember that just out of the blue, he began to tell me some of his struggles, some of his secrets, things that he hadn't told other people before. And I think part of it was that it was dark and that we didn't see each other, and sometimes you can just talk aimlessly into the night, and you know someone's listening, but it doesn't feel like it. You can just kind of be a little more honest. You ever been there? And so we had an opportunity to be honest and to talk into the night, and that was part of it. But he started talking to me about things like his identity and who he was and how he was confused. He started talking to me about some of what he hated about himself. He started talking about a little bit what Ben mentioned, and one of you students just mentioned to me before Encounter tonight, about being feeling worthless. He started talking to me about things that were very much in his heart, that were deep. He even talked a little bit about how he had contemplated suicide. Now, not everyone's secrets are dark, and not everyone's secrets are heavy, but believe you me, every one of your secrets is tender. What is the tender truth about you? Have you let anyone know the tender truth about you? Have you been honest about you? Have you ever been accepted about that honesty? Have you ever truly belonged? Frederick Buechner says it best this way. I really like what he has to say in this quote. He says, it is important to tell, at least from time to time, the secret of who we truly and fully are, even if we tell it only to ourselves, because otherwise we run the risk of losing track of who we truly and fully are, and little by little we come to accept instead that highly edited version that we put forth in hopes that the world will find it more acceptable than the real thing. Are you honest? What's the tender truth about you? What have you brought with you? How are you similar to Nacho? What group of people did you identify with most in high school? You had your circles. Even now, you've got your people on your floor, you've got your people in your major, you've got your people at Encounter. You got different people that think different things about you, that you know you're supposed to put forth a certain persona about yourself, depending on what group you're with. Sometimes those groups mesh and they meet and you slip up and you say a word. That group doesn't think I say that word. You ever been there? I've been there. Who are you? Who's the real you? There was a woman during Jesus' time that really, really needed to get honest about who she was. Now, there were a few things about her that everyone knew and no one said out loud, and one of those things was that she was from the lowest of people groups that were on the face of the planet, the Samaritans. She was a Samaritan. Everyone looked down on the Samaritans. Of all people, they were the lowest of the low. The other thing that was very obvious about her was that she was a woman. You need to know in that day that if you're a woman, the only source of security that you would receive is if you had a man. A man brought you security. That was your only outlet. And so, I don't know the full backstory of this, but my assumption is that she latched on to one guy with high hopes that he would provide for her some security. And my guess
is that at some point she ended up, you gonna be okay, Olivia? Can we have somebody sit with Olivia really quick? Be all right? It's great. This is something that Olivia's been through before. It'll be fine. Things will pass here in a second. So make sure she's not going to hurt herself. And so where we're at this point is that Jesus is coming to this town where there is this woman. And this woman, and the other thing you need to know about this woman is that not only is she a woman, but she probably put so much of her attention and so much of her hopes on this one man that she probably slept with him. And when you sleep with a guy and then he leaves you, you get a reputation. And that hasn't really changed since Jesus' time, has it? And so Jesus comes into this scene where this woman has been with a man, and she has probably gone from one man to the next man to the next man, and now she's got a reputation amongst the guys that she's that kind of a woman, and it's the only thing that she can really hold on to that's going to give her any source of security, but it also makes her an outsider amongst her family. It makes her an outsider amongst a number of other people. And so where this story picks up is when Jesus comes to this place at this well that's out of town of Samaria. And he comes out of town. She comes out of town. And it says that it's high noon. High noon is not the time that you go to the well typically if you're from town. You go to the well at 6 in the morning when it's cool, not at the heat of the day. And the reason that she goes at the heat of the day is because she's not just an outsider amongst her family, not just an outsider amongst the rest of the nations. She is an outsider amongst the other women because she's that kind of woman. And so this is where our story picks up in John chapter 4. Let's read this together. It says, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. He's talking to her before this about this water, this living water, so that I won't get thirsty and I won't have to come here to draw the water. And he told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. And she said, Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is that you have had 5 husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Jesus looks right in the eyes, and he's like, I know your secrets. Eek. Freak out, right? Next. The woman said, I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then Jesus declared, I, the one who speak to you, am he. This is a huge story. I'm kind of picking up some spots throughout the course of the story, so please bear with me. I know that this isn't the entire thing. So this is further into the conversation. They end up getting deeper into this talk, and she recognizes that they're at an impasse in their conversation, and she just kind of writes it off and says, you know, one day there's a Messiah coming, and that's probably the way she signed off a number of her talks. And he says, the one that speaks to you now, I am he. Now, as I've looked a little bit more into the background of this, this is quite possibly, many scholars believe, the very first time that Jesus ever told anyone that he was actually the Messiah. He tells her before he tells the 12 disciples that he's the Messiah. She is the lowest of the low. Who's the true you? Who's that tender you about you tonight? That person that might think that you're worthless, that might think that you don't belong. Jesus is coming into your life, and he's just like in this particular situation where he is as high as you can possibly imagine, meeting, in this case, the lowest that you can possibly imagine. And he's looking at her and he is saying, I'm going to reveal myself to you because you're that special. Jesus does this for her because he wants to reveal the opportunity and the reality that he's here to do that for all of us. Doing that for you too. If he can do it for her, he can do it for you. Let's keep going. Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town, and she said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And they came out of the town, and they made their way toward him. Next. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." And so when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed with them 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Here is how it works, guys. Honesty met with acceptance creates belonging, and it also creates a confidence. And the same woman who was feeling like she had to avoid everybody by going to the well at noon runs back into town once she belongs to the one who is the creator of the world, and she knows it, and who knows her secrets, and she's found acceptance. She runs right back into town, and she's like, "Let me tell you guys about a guy. Let me tell you a guy that's done something for me, who knows everything about me. You got to come meet this guy." That is the reality that was going to change this campus. It's going to change you. It's going to change this world. And so here I'm going to ask you tonight, here a window of opportunity, is that I really want to talk to you specifically about the power of getting out of town and being honest. And like Frederick Buechner said, it doesn't have to be with other people. I don't want anyone here to get scared into thinking that fall retreat is this place where we circle up and we tell each other secrets. That's not what we do. It's not a creepy place. Fall retreat is a safe place. It's a safe place for you to be honest with yourself and for you to be honest with God. And for you to find belonging. And if it comes to be that you want to be able to share with somebody else at that retreat an honesty about who you are, that's awesome. It doesn't have to be that way, but we would love for you to just feel like you have a space to belong. I find it interesting that this woman has to leave town, and she finds this acceptance out of town. There is something about us getting out of town. There is something about me and Nacho going to Michigan. I'm confident that the same scenario here on campus may not have brought out as much honesty of him. But being out of town, there is something about being out of town that just helped that happen. Does that happen for you? You guys know what I'm talking about? I don't know what it is. There's just something about piling in a car and driving down to Little Galilee or wherever camp you're at or whatever place you are out of town that bonds people. I am asking for you to consider going to Fall Retreat if you haven't already, for the simple fact that you're out of town, you're out of your context, and it's an opportunity, a window of opportunity that really will dissipate. The first two windows of opportunity we've talked about are small groups. They'll be there every week. It's a window of opportunity that will continue to be there. It will probably become less and less likely just because you're going to get more and more busy with your Wednesday and Thursday nights, but it's going to be there. The window of opportunity of meeting around the light and being here every week, we're going to be here every week. That opportunity will continue to be here. The window of opportunity for this week is closing. It's next weekend. And before you write it off, I really want you to ask somebody that's gone before and ask them this question. Is it something that you would recommend? I guarantee that if you do that to a number of people, you're going to get your answer of what you need to do. It's a cool opportunity. I can't fully express why it's so important and it's not magical. The magic isn't about the place. The magic isn't about that it's called Fall Retreat. The magic is maybe a little bit the fact that we all get crazy with colors. I don't know. That might have a little something to do with it. You'll find out. What really it is, it's about intentionally getting away under the name of Jesus and saying, "We're going to be honest." That's what it's about. And I find it interesting that as I polled my staff, all of them said, "This opportunity was a huge turning point for them to be the person that they are right now. I want to ask you to consider this. I'm going to ask you to more than just you consider it, I'm going to ask for you to think about who you need to bring. And you're saying, Pete, I'm new here. It's like, yeah, I know. Most people on campus are new. That's okay. You can invite new people. All the easier. I'm a little scared. I don't know what to expect. I hear it's pretty cool. You want to come with me? And we have had numerous people that have gone to the fall retreat as their first contact with Encounter, and it's been amazing. It's been a really cool experience for them all. So I'm confident. I'm that confident in it that I think new people would enjoy it. So would you consider that as well? I wanna close tonight by just telling you that honesty comes in a variety of packages. Sometimes it comes in the package of what Nacho shared. Sometimes it comes in the package of some things that I've had to go through at Fall Retreat where I've just, or even not only Fall Retreat, but other places where I've just had to be honest between me and God. And I think something very unique and beautiful happened that depicts exactly what I'm talking about that happened last year at Fall Retreat. And that happened through our very own Katie Dawson. Katie, would you come up and share your story with us? Let's give Katie a warm welcome. Before we do that, I'm going to pray for her. And I'm going to also ask you to do something through the rest of our evening tonight. Can you do me a favor? And I know I'm being kind of silly here, but I think there's power in tangible things being in our hands and asking God what he wants to do with that. And I know we all got a phone. Maybe it's a flip phone. That's okay. We're not talking apps right now. But would you grab your phone while this is happening? And would you hold it in your hand? And would you ask God, what is it? Maybe it is a sign up that you need to do, but more importantly, I kind of wonder, there might be somebody that you know that you're thinking of. As Katie shares her story and we have something to show after that, who it is that you might need to text tonight during this window, during this time, to take full advantage of that. Let's pray for Katie. Thank you, God, for Katie and for her story. We love her. We love what you do. We love how you are the king of this room and for the things that you have continued to do and show over the course of time. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, hello, everyone. My name is Katie. And as Pete was talking tonight just about secrets and being honest with ourselves, as he said last year, around this time at Fall Retreat, just before, probably the week or two before, I had a secret and some struggles that I had a really hard time coming to terms with for myself. And that secret was that on my birthday, my dad had committed suicide. And I had a really hard time being honest with myself about that, being honest with other people. I would just tell them, like, oh, my dad passed away, because I couldn't come to terms with the fact that that was the truth. So with that, go back to last year before Fall Retreat, the weekend before, I had actually started counseling to come to terms with that. And Molly Beal and Caitlin, Alec, and Grace Edson are just really, really close to me and have poured into me and been I don't really know the word I'm looking for. Anyway, they played a big role in that, but I started going to counseling because I couldn't be honest with myself, and that was the week leading up to Fall Retreat. And so going to Fall Retreat, which that Friday, that was my birthday, and so it wasn't just, oh, happy birthday, yay, but it was, oh, this is the day that my dad committed suicide, and I'm trying to be honest with myself. And so going into this, I didn't want to go on Fallout Tree. I didn't want to be a leader. I didn't want to be around people. But what was really cool about how the Lord used all this was that that whole weekend, Friday and Saturday, still didn't want to be there. But I remember Friday night, I was with Molly, and I was just sobbing in her car because I just didn't understand. I didn't understand why my dad committed suicide. I didn't understand why it was on my birthday. I didn't understand all these things, and these are things that I will never understand. But still just coming to terms with that. And then, so Friday and Saturday, that's that. Come Sunday, it is a beautiful sunny day. And I got baptized that day, and just seeing how, like, the Lord just redeemed so much, but it all started with me being honest with myself. It all started with me being honest about what actually happened on that day so many years ago, and on the other side of those secrets, when I was able to finally be honest, I found freedom, I found joy, I found people who still accepted me and loved me despite what I thought was something that would drive people away. And just to go back to what Pete was saying about secrets and about Fallout Tree and everything, I just encourage you all to go if you haven't. If you've gone, you know how awesome Fallout Tree is. But just to really be honest with yourself, whether that's at Fall Retreat or whether that's sometime this week or after it, it really doesn't matter. But just to take this opportunity and to be honest with yourself, be honest with the Lord, because I promise you that there's so much greater things that lie on the other side of that. I don't know right, but I do. Okay.
I don't think I've ever wanted as much. neither of them could speak a word. And they held their own spirits to blame. But at the pulse of the wave, they both turned around, thinking someone was calling.
What's the one thing you want more than anything? It's to be known. What's the one fear that you have going through the world, going through this life, is that you're going to be labeled as a fake? That's going to be whatever the group that you're with thinks that you should be. It's our chance to be honest. It's our chance to be real. And I'm going to be really candid with you and say that I don't want this to be a Christian ministry that people pretend to be a certain way to be a part of this group. I want us to all strive to be like Jesus. But to be like Jesus means you just put your hair down and you just be honest who you are. And I want you to be honest with who you are, like to yourself. I want you to be true. I want this to be a place that this whole campus is drawn to, because they just know there's no pretense here. And what's the one thing that's going to drive you to be that person that's going to invite others in? Honesty. It's the one thing that drove that woman right back into town, was when she was known. When she was truly known, she didn't care what people thought. And this is where we're at, and this is what I want for you. And I hope it didn't sound like a big fall retreat push as much as I really want this to sound like an invitation for you to be truly honest with who you are. You get to do that in small group. You get to do that between you and the Lord tonight. But you also get to do that in some special places like fall retreat, where there's special time carved away just for that purpose. And so we're going to ask for God to just enter into this place at this time to finish out our night. Would you stand with me as I close this out tonight? Jesus, this is not a trite prayer that I'm about to pray. This is my heart. This is my cry. My cry is that we would learn how to be good listeners. That we would not be people that talk a lot, but as people begin to maybe share their secrets with us, as I was able to have that happen to me with Nacho years ago, that we'd be good listeners. We wouldn't be big talkers there. That we would be the kind of guides that this campus needs. That there would be something about the reputation of people within this ministry that is just known and felt throughout this campus. I'm going to ask that you would anoint that weekend of the 16th to be a place that's carved away for your space to just do your thing in that unique few hours. We're gonna invite you to do crazy big things here in the hearts of the students that are here. I'm going to ask for you to do something within the invitations that we send to our friends back, maybe not even to this, maybe it's not even to Encounter, maybe or to the retreat, maybe it's to a small group, maybe it's just for lunch or coffee. But would you begin to do something within us in an honest kind of way, where you meet us in a way that changes us as well as changes the world, this campus. We lift this up in your name, Jesus. Amen.